Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 12 of Revelation chapter 9. And we're continuing to look at verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And we've been looking at the Greek word translated as torment, and we've seen how it's used in a few different ways. That is tossed, concerning waves, toiled, or toiling. The disciples were toiling and rowing against the waves as the wind was contrary to them. Vexed, in the case of Lot, who had his righteous soul vexed day by day by their evil deeds. And tormented. We looked at Revelation 11, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And how did they torment them? Well, it was nothing physical. It was nothing literal in the sense of torture or anything like that. It was torment through the Word of God. As the two prophets are referenced to the two witnesses, and the two witnesses are a figure of Moses and Elijah that typify the Bible. The Bible's witness through the churches and congregations over the course of the church age was a source of torment to the unsaved people that the Word of God reached. As the gospel went forth, as the Word was preached, it brought torment, because it talked of sin and judgment and punishment and so forth. And this was a problem. It brought troubled minds to those that heard these things. And so once the two witnesses were killed, and that happened at the end of the church age and beginning of the Great Tribulation, well, then they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And the witness of God, the Spirit of God, through His Word, had come to an end in the congregations of the world. And without God's Spirit blessing and empowering the Word, it lost its effectiveness, and therefore it lost its ability to torment. Well, in Revelation 14, we also find the word, the Greek word, translated as tormented in verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, notice that here God is speaking of torment, just as our verse in Revelation 9:5, just as in Revelation 11:10. And once again, what is it that brings torment to the unsaved? The answer is, it is the teaching of the wrath of God that the Scriptures bring. And so in the day of judgment, Revelation 14:10, is speaking of God pouring out a cup of wrath to the unsaved individual, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now here God is linking torment with something, and in this case it's fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone will be that which is used to torment. And fire and brimstone is language really that identifies also with the word of God. For instance, in Isaiah 30, verse 33, it says there, "For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it." The breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone. There, the comparison is being made. God is linking, he's joining together his breath with brimstone. And that is very significant, because all scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and so forth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word inspiration is a compound word that literally means God breathe. All scripture is God breathed. And so when we read in Isaiah 30:33 that the breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. And the word kindle reminds us of Deuteronomy 32, verse 22, which says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Without any question, this is speaking of the furious anger of God against the sinner in the day of judgment, and his breath is what is like a stream of brimstone. And that ties together fire and brimstone, because God is also said to be himself a consuming fire. That ties fire and brimstone with the person of God, and specifically with his breath, his word. His word is like fire and brimstone, we could say. And so it's no wonder that we find in the context of Judgment Day that he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. It is describing the word of God that is going to condemn, it's going to reveal the righteous judgment of God. And remember that verse in Romans 2:5, "The day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God," it says, because the day of wrath, Judgment Day, which began on May 21, 2011, is also a time that God is opening or continuing to open the scriptures to reveal the teaching of the Bible concerning it. And so we've learned that in the days after the tribulation, we've learned this, that God's judgment was spiritual. It's a spiritual thing to shut the door of heaven. It's a spiritual thing to put out the gospel light. It's a spiritual thing to bring salvation to a close. No one could ever see the door open or the light shining, or could ever see someone become saved. And therefore, as God has shut the door and put out the light and no longer saves people, no one can see these things. It's a spiritual judgment. And it's being revealed from the word of God like a stream of brimstone. These truths are flowing forth. Just if you can picture it, like a mountain that erupts and the volcano spews forth and the fire and brimstone flows, the lava flows down the mountain and comes forth to devour the town below. Well, that's how the Bible is right now, if we can picture that. God long-sufferingly, patiently waited until the last of his elect were saved. And then when that was completed, and it was just before He shut the door of heaven on May 21 of the year 2011. Then God erupted in fury and wrath and began to pour forth the judgment, the punishment of the wicked of the world. And these things are flowing forth from the scripture, flowing as fire and brimstone from the breath of God who has kindled it in his anger. And so we are reading in Revelation 9 verse 5, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented. And that's referring to those that have not the seal of God on their foreheads. They should be tormented 5 months. Tormented as the unsaved people of the world were tormented by the witness of the gospel throughout the church age as they heard things concerning judgment as well as grace. It was a two-edged sword, and God's people were a savor of life unto life to those that God intended to save, and a savor of death unto death to those that God did not save. Well, now God's people continue to basically operate and function the same way as they have throughout history, and that is they search the scriptures, they study, they look for truth, and God reveals and opens things to his people's understanding, and once they learn a truth, they share it with others. They speak of it and tell family, friends, and neighbors, and even enemies of what they have learned. And that's exactly what God would have his people to do today. And in doing so, as we share the information from the Bible, as God exhorts us to publish these things and conceal them not, we will be simultaneously feeding sheep, and the word will be like a stream of brimstone that will bring torment to the unsaved people of the earth as they hear that the door is shut and there is no more salvation. Oh no, I'm sure some will think, here we go again. We thought we were finished with these ones who speak of the Bible and tell us of God's judgment. We thought we were done and through with this when that date passed, and here they are prophesying again. And of course, that's what God desires and commands for his people to do. It is a time in which we are to share truth once again and prophesy, or to prophesy is simply declaring the word of God, the things that we have learned from it. Well, it says that the locusts who are given the task of not killing, but bringing torment to those that have not the seal of God in their foreheads, to those that aren't saved, that they are to be about this task for a period of 5 months. Now, we had previously thought that the reference to 5 months was a literal time reference. That when God spoke of 5 months, he meant literally 5 months of time. And we thought this because it fit so well, May 21, 2011 to October 21, 2011 was exactly 5 months. And October 21 of 2011 happened to be the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was the likely time for Christ to return and the end of the world to begin, because that feast had not yet been spiritually fulfilled. However, that date came and went, and obviously when that happens, we have to return and restudy and look at it again. Where were we incorrect? Where did we go wrong? Well, let's go back to this verse and to the Bible, and let's consider. And first of all, consider that in Revelation 9, we're reading of a star falling from heaven unto the earth. Is that literal? Well, no. The star that fell from heaven is a reference to Christ. And he's not a star. He didn't fall from heaven. It's a figure of speech. It's parabolic language. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Is that literal? Is there really a place known as the bottomless pit? And is there a key that fits the lock to that pit? And the answer is no to both. There is no place of a bottomless pit, and Christ has no literal key to hell and death. It's a figure of speech. And then when it says the bottomless pit was open and smoke came out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Is that literal? Is that what we could expect on Judgment Day, for an enormous cloud of smoke to rise up out of a pit? Well, no. First of all, there's no pit. There is no place. And there is no smoke, no literal smoke. Again, figures of speech. They're types and figures and parables. There is not going to come a time when enormous smoke ascends up into the heaven and darkens the sun and completely darkens all the air. That is not going to happen. It's teaching spiritual things. And then in verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and as the scorpions of the earth have power. Is this literal? No, there's nothing in the Bible that would make us think that these are literal physical locusts. And especially if you look how God describes them in verse 7 of Revelation 9. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions. Now, just try and imagine that. If you were to draw that kind of a picture, that would be some creature. And there's never been a creature like that known to this creation. It is a description of a creature that does not exist. Therefore, the locusts are not actual locusts, but they represent something, and we have seen and will learn further that they represent God's people. And in doing so, they are a figure and a type, and it is a parable that God is speaking of locusts. And then we read in verse 5 again of locusts that they're given the task that they are to not kill but bring torment for 5 months. And even the word torment is not as it would appear. It has to do with a declaration from the Word of God that troubles the minds of the listeners or the hearers, the ones that happen to hear what God is saying from His Word in regards to judgment in the day of judgment. And we could continue on in Revelation 9. And in verse 6, it speaks about men seeking death and not finding it. And that's not literal. Lord willing, we'll discuss that soon. Or later on, there's an army of 200 million horsemen, and horses have breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone. That is not literal. It is a big parable. Verse after verse after verse is parabolic. And it is as though Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and then proceeds to speak parables, and as he did in the gospel accounts. And we're reading words similar to that when it says In Revelation 9, verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, or as, and similar type words. And that is drawing a comparison, that what this is saying is like something else. Well, then, when we come to 5 months, we really have to ask the question, how could we ever have thought that was literal? Since everything else in the chapter is pointing to a figurative understanding, they're types and figures throughout, why would we think that it's literal? And of course, the answer is that the way that things were set up concerning the end of the Great Tribulation, May 21, 2011, and that day having the underlying Hebrew calendar date of 217, and then this reference to 5 months, and that nice period of 5 months in our calendar from May 21 to October 21, it looked so organized and it fits so well. And we would have to say now that God set this up, and he also held back from us understanding of a few things that permitted us to maintain the idea that there would be some sort of physical destruction on May 21, a great earthquake, and the world would be chaotic for a literal 5 months. Now, the physical destruction never came, and likewise, the literal 5 months never happened. We were wrong when we thought the earthquake was physical. We were wrong when we thought the 5 months was a literal time period. Now, we ought to have realized that in the Bible, and in the book of Revelation especially, God speaks of 1 hour to represent the period of the Great Tribulation, which in actual time turned out to be 23 years. And yet he calls it 1 hour. He speaks of 1260 days a couple of times in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 11, it says in verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." And that 1,260 days points to the entire New Testament church age. It is 1,260 days that turns out to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in actual duration. So both the 1 hour reference is not literal, the 1,260-day reference is not literal, and in Revelation 11 also, we read of the two witnesses that are killed, and it says in Revelation 11, verse 9, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." And is that 3.5 days literal? No, it's referring to the end of the testimony of the Word of God in the congregations, and the end of the first jubilee, or the first time God was evangelizing the earth, and the 3.5 days is describing the 2300 evening mornings, the first part of the Great Tribulation, which works out to 6 years and about 4 months. And therefore, it's not a literal 3.5 days. No matter what time period you assign to that 3.5 days, it's most obvious it is not literal. It is not a literal statement at all. So God can use small periods of time and make them, in actuality, be much longer periods of time, or he can do the reverse. Remember what it says in 2 Peter 3, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And we saw in relationship to the flood, when God said to Noah, yet 7 days, and I will bring the flood upon the earth, that he had in view 7,000 years. So he used 7 days there in Genesis 7 verse 4. And that 7 days, although historically literal, it was 7 days until the actual flood came, yet spiritually it had a 7,000 year connotation. 7,000 years later, on May 21, 2011, on the very date that the flood began, 217 in the days of Noah, May 21, 2011, had the underlying calendar date of 217, 7,000 years from that point. And also, referring to 1,000 years, in Revelation 20, we find several references to 1,000 years. 1,000 years Satan is bound. After 1,000 years he'll be loosed. And none of them are literal. None of them are literal. The 1,000 years represents the completeness of Satan's binding, and it turned out to be an actual period of 1,955 years. So what does this teach us? What do we learn? Well, we learn that if Revelation 9:5 is a literal 5 months, it would basically stand alone in the book of Revelation. That the other dates, the other time references that are given, as far as I can tell, are not literal. They are not literal at all, whether it be an hour or whether it be a day, as this book speaks of the judgment that came upon Babylon in one day, referring to Judgment Day, which is a prolonged period of time, or whether it be the 3.5 days or 10 days that Revelation 2 mentions, that you'll be tried for 10 days, that also is pointing to the entire Great Tribulation period, or whether it be 1,260 days or 1,000 years. In none of these references is the time in view to be taken literally. And so we must make the correction. God is not speaking of a literal 5 months, but a figurative 5 months. And that would be in keeping. It would be along the lines of all the other time references that he has given us in the book of Revelation.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.